Do you owe $10,000 or more on at least two federal student loans? Then you may qualify for new programs offered by the Department of Education. These programs can reduce your interest, lower your payments, and possibly qualify you for loan forgiveness. If you have $10,000 or more and at least two federal student loans and currently not in school, you may qualify for one of these programs. Call now to check your eligibility. Student loan advisors are standing by to help you determine if you qualify for these new programs. They can help you reduce your interest, lower your payment, and even forgive a portion of your student loan debt. Take control of your financial future. Make this free 5-minute free call now to Nationwide Student Loans and learn how you can reduce your student loan debt.
800-439-1588, 800-439-1588, 800-439-1588, 800-439-1588.
You're listening to Executive Leaders Radio, broadcast from the Arlington Chamber of Commerce. This is your host, Herb Cohen, with my co-hosts, Joe Applebaum, Potomac Companies, Mike Ross, now Arlington Chamber of Commerce, Mark Haas, AEG, Rob Longman, Longman and Van Greck, Vince Chrysler, Dark Cubed, and Les Smolin, Vistage. Les, will you please give us a rundown on who we're going to have the opportunity of speaking with today?
Sure. We got Mike Black, COO, JMA Solutions, Ken Fang, President, Obama, Stephen Robbins, Principal at Lurch Early Brewer, Greg Sullivan, President and CEO, Sullivan, Brewett, Spiros, and Blaney.
Let's get to know our first guest, Mike Black, COO of JMA Solutions. Mike, what is JMA Solutions? What are you guys doing?
JMA Solutions is a government contractor. We do management consulting and professional services.
How large or how small is this organization?
The company is about 150 employees, and if you count independent consultants and subcontractors, we have 200 people doing the work in the name of JMA.
Mm-hmm. Where are you from originally?
I'm originally from Alabama. However, I'm a military brat, mm-hmm. and I've lived a lot of places.
How many different schools did you go to prior to graduating high school?
I probably went to about 10 different schools before I graduated from high school.
How many brothers and sisters do you have?
I have two sisters, so there's three of us, and I'm the oldest.
You're the oldest, huh? And what did that do to you, growing up the oldest of three, moving to all those different places?
Being the oldest, I was thrust into a leadership position of taking care of my sisters, babysitting, cooking for them when my parents were working or both working.
Well, you used the word you were thrust into it. The point is you took that responsibility. I mean, you could have played victim or something, but you didn't. And so you're 12, 13 years old, and you're taking what kind of responsibility did you have to take for your younger sisters?
I had to basically take care of them. They were 4 and 5 years younger than me, so just the human needs of cooking and safety.
How did that feel? Your friends are outside playing, and you're taking care of your two sisters.
You know, sometimes that wasn't the best thing or what I wanted to do, but in part of being a family and taking care of sisters, that's what was instilled in me.
So when you moved around the 10 different schools when you were a kid, how did you go about establishing yourself in each of those communities?
Well, I learned how to make friends at every place that we moved to be accepted within the community or within the school.
How'd you do that?
I was involved in a lot of sports. I played baseball and football. Baseball was my favorite sport. Mm-hmm. And
well, how'd you do that with baseball? How'd you use baseball to establish relationships moving around all that much?
I was a pretty good athlete, and I played outfield in baseball, and usually rose to be a leader or a captain of the team. Played center field.
Well, how'd you do that? How'd you end up being the captain or the leader of those teams moving around so much? You were the outside kid. Why would they like depend on you?
I was the new kid on the block, but when you are a good athlete, you end up being accepted by folks, and then you get the opportunity to display your leadership skills when you get put into a position like being center field, directing the outfield.
Uh-huh. There's somebody here that knows you from a previous life. Vince, what's his reputation?
Yeah, Mike is just known through everybody as somebody that takes care of people and cares about, you know, whether it's the youngest airman or his direct reports. He just cares personally about everybody.
How do you know that about him?
I actually had the opportunity to work for him, and he is somebody that I have looked up to ever since I worked with him, and I consider him a mentor and a friend.
Why'd you look up to him?
Because he takes care of people. I went through some interesting challenges while I was there in terms of deciding to leave the Air Force, and, you know, there are lots of ways he could have reacted, but he supported me.
Mm-hmm. Mark?
Mike, what book or movie growing up really profoundly affected you and why?
More so a movie after I grew up, but it was about a story that happened while I was growing up or before I was born, Red Tails, about the Tuskegee Airmen and what they persevered. As I mentioned, I was born in Alabama. I was born in Tuskegee.
Why was that book so important to you? Why was that movie so important to you?
Seeing what those airmen went through and to be successful.
Was your father involved with that?
My father was a graduate of Tuskegee Institute at that time, and actually some of his instructors were Tuskegee airmen.
So you took a genuine interest in your father's history.
Absolutely. My father served in the Army for 28 years.
What was the story about your mom, by the way?
My mom was a clerical worker, and she was instrumental in the education in the family. In fact, she's the reason I went to the Air Force Academy. She did everything except write the essay and sign the name. So I tell everybody, mm-hmm. My mom got the appointment to the academy, so I went in her stead.
So you've got a lot of respect for both mom and dad, don't you?
I do have a lot of respect for both my parents.
How's that played out in terms of your business career?
Well, I've learned a lot about leadership, building a foundation, academics from my parents, and I've carried that through all the leadership positions that I had in the Air Force.
Yeah, but your mom and your dad, they weren't COO of a 150, 200-person firm. What do you mean you learned that stuff from them?
Well, my dad was a leader in the Army and, you know, commanded troops, and I was able to see him grow from the rank of lieutenant all the way to colonel, and so I adapted and put that in my DNA or in my
Rob,
baggage.
Rob, what's your question there?
We've heard that you are a very caring person. How does that relate back, and how are you a caring person at your workplace over your team members?
Yeah, has that helped you build your team?
Well, I think taking care of people is the most important thing that you can do, providing people the tools, the resources, and the environment to be successful. Once they are successful, they're going to do things to help the company be successful. A happy person is going to perform better than an unhappy person.
Les?
Yeah. Why was it so important for you to get an education through the Air Force Academy? Why was your mom so adamant about that?
Well, it was a given that I was going to school, and then we started looking for places for scholarships, and my mom introduced the academies to me, and after research, and I thought it was it was something that I could do, and we went ahead and applied to all the academies, and I ended up getting an appointment to the Air Force Academy.
Mm-hmm. So education plays a pretty big role in who you are?
Absolutely, with both of my parents being college graduates, and the story of my dad's family, seven of them went to Tuskegee. Actually, six of them went to Tuskegee, so mm-hmm. I got to see that.
Vince?
Yeah, during the break, you'd mentioned kind of at the age of five, you had this kind of foundational experience. Briefly tell us about that and then say why that's affected you today.
Yes, I lived in Ethiopia, which is now Eritrea, and the first school that I went to at 5 years old was an Italian Montessori school. Spoke Italian at that school, so I was one of two Americans there. Had to learn Italian to learn.
In Ethiopia at the age of five?
In Ethiopia at the age of five. Haile Selassie was still the emperor, and he was
alive.
What
did that do to you? What did that do to you? What did you get from that?
It was just a fantastic experience that I can reflect back on.
What are you talking about? What do you mean? You're from Alabama, and
right.
All of a sudden you're in Ethiopia and Italian,
right.
And it's like a great experience?
Well, learning Italian, we had a maid who could speak five languages. Italian was one of them, and so she helped me with my Italian.
You implicitly have a really true and deep appreciation for other people?
Absolutely. It's all part of growing up and being part of team, and a team, you know, everybody has to do their role for the team to be successful.
Doesn't it frustrate you when people are different than you?
I think diversity and inclusion really make for a good team.
So you understand where people fit on the team.
Absolutely, and also sometimes putting people into the right positions if they're not in the right position to begin with.
So when you were moving those 10 times and you ended up being the outfielder, whatever role you were playing on the baseball team, so you naturally understood where everybody fit. Did you, like, quietly help people move into the position they should have been in?
Sometimes quietly and sometimes vocally.
Uh-huh. Vince, what's your next question?
Yeah, and I think, as we were talking beforehand, it's really the importance of making friends as you were moving, right? And so what skills did you learn that helped you make friends growing up that make you a good leader now?
Well, appreciating what everybody brings to the table and accepting people for who they are is a way to make friends, and it's a way to ensure that you have that diversity and inclusion mm-hmm. in your business.
Mm-hmm. Rob? What do you think of?
You keep using this word team, but it seems almost as if your very first team was your family. How did that structure push you into creating all these other teams?
Well, a family unit is a team, and so I was exposed to that, you know, day in and day out while I was living at the household, and that is part of my DNA, and I was able to use that skill set in all the leadership positions that I had in the military and now in the private sector.
Mark?
If the people you grew up with could see you now, would they recognize you right now? Would they see a line of sight between who you were as a kid and who you are now?
I think most people would. Everybody that knows me from growing up knew that I played team sports. I'm very much a part of a team in all the jobs that I had in the military and then the two jobs that I've had in the private sector and being a chief operating officer.
Mike, what is the website address for JMA Solutions?
It is jma-solutions.com.
We've been speaking with Mike Black, CEO of JMA Solutions, here on Executive Leaders Radio with my co-hosts, Mr. Les Smolin, Vistage, Joe Applebaum, Potomac Companies, Mike Rossnow, Arlington Chamber of Commerce, Mark Haas, AEG, Rob Longman and Van Grack, and Vince Chrysler, Dark Cube. Don't forget to visit our website, executiveleadersradio.com, to learn more about our executive leaders, executiveleadersradio.com, to learn more about our executive leaders. We will be back in a moment right after this break. Ah, nice. And your name is?
Scott Pacheco.
And Scott, what organization are you with?
Lurch Early and Brewer.
And what do you do in this organization of Lurch Early and Brewer?
I work in communications, doing newsletters, events, publications.
Newsletters, events, publications. Did you write the website?
I wrote parts of it.
You wrote parts of it. And what do you mean you wrote parts of it? You actually did the writing?
I worked with attorneys to rewrite their bios, worked on practice group descriptions.
So you're all about communications. How young were you when this was showing up?
Very young. My mother went back to college when I was in middle school, high school, and I ended up cooking for the family.
How many brothers and sisters do you have?
I'm the oldest of four.
You're the oldest of four, and you ended up being you're the responsible one. You were cooking for them. Your friends are out playing, and you're cooking for the family, huh?
Yeah, they instilled in me that it was important to keep the family dinners going as long as possible.
Uh-huh. So how's that playing itself out in terms of your business career nowadays?
I like to be in the know. I like to know what's the inner workings of how business is.
Oh, my gosh. You're built to be the communications dude in this law firm because you're trying to figure out what's going on inside the firm and communicate it to the outsiders. It's your implicit nature, isn't it?
Yes.
What is?
Communicating, making sure everybody's on the same page, making sure I know where everybody's at.
That's like what you did with the family when you're cooking the dinners.
Yes, and now I do the spreadsheets for the family vacations and whose flight gets in where. And
oh, my gosh, you're a natural organizer. You were doing it with the family dinners. You're now doing it with the communications of the firm. So your nature is to make sure that the communications is also consistent, isn't it?
Absolutely.
What do you mean by that?
When everybody's not on the same page, it just creates so many inefficiencies.
What's the website address of this organization?
LurchEarly.com, LurchEarly.com.
And your name again is?
Scott Pacheco.
And this has been your Business Spotlight. Nice. You nailed it. You nailed it.
How old are you? 25, 35, 50, or older? If you have pain, we can help. Do your knees hurt?
Ow.
Let me ask you again. Are your knees killing you?
Oh, yeah. Are they ever?
What about your back? When you bend over, does it feel like this? How about when you get out of bed in the morning? If you're like me, your knees and back feel like this.
Oh, that hurts.
I found a company called the Pain Relief Hotline. They specialize in ways to treat your knee, back, and neck pain without surgery or taking medications. The good news is if you have insurance, you may have little or no cost or out-of-pocket expense. I've used them. It works. Call the Pain Relief Hotline now for free information. 800-303-4607. 800-303-4607. Call now. 800-303-4607. That's 800-303-4607.
303-4607.
National Funding Group has just released $100 million in easy access small business funding to businesses that gross at least $100,000 a year. You can have fast access up to $500,000 in new business capital in as little as 48 hours. Think about the ways you could grow your business if you had up to a $500,000 cash infusion. Call a NFG funding expert now. The process is easy. It only takes about 5 minutes. Then our management-owned lending team looks at your application for a fast approval. You can get 100% funded in about 2 days. If you need up to $500,000 in working capital to run your business and you gross at least $100,000 a year, call NFG and apply today. 800-296-1564. 800-296-1564. 800-296-1564. That's 800-296-1564.
Biz Talk Radio.
We're back. You're listening to Executive Leaders Radio. This is your host, Herb Cohen. We'd like to introduce Ken Fang, president of Mobomo. What is Mobomo, Ken?
We're a tech transformation company, mostly in mobile, web, and cloud.
Uh-huh. And how large or how small is this organization?
About 140 people.
And where are you from originally?
I was born in Illinois, grew up in the Boston, Massachusetts area.
Uh-huh. And how many brothers and sisters?
Two sisters, one older, one younger.
So what was growing up, you're the only boy, you grew up between two sisters. What did that do to you? What was the effect of that?
So I was your classic middle child. So I was the one that had to kind of figure out how to build consensus between everybody.
So this ability to build consensus, has that ever helped you in business?
Oh, yeah, without a doubt.
What do you mean?
It helps me see a lot of different angles and be able to get, you know, kind of cohesive win-win.
I read the newspapers, and I know that the CEO, if they don't get their way, they're just going to go firing people. Isn't that the way it works?
Yeah, no, it doesn't really work that way.
What do you mean? What are you talking about?
I think, if you handle it that way, yeah, people are going to leave you, right? So you have to... In order to lead, you have to have a shared vision.
So you're telling me your two sisters, one older, one younger, prepped you for being a CEO?
Yeah, pretty much.
Uh-huh. Have you ever been a CEO or president previously?
Yeah, so I have another company, Ultim, that I started a while back.
Oh, so you've done that. How young were you when you, didn't you tell us a story about some sort of a computer lab thing you were doing at 13? What was that all about?
Oh, yeah, so at 13, I was able to work in a computer lab. I was really actually just moving computers around.
And what happened? That evolved into something else.
I learned how to program and started playing around with that. And
so you were working in a computer lab, moving computers around. You ended up learning how to program, and then what happened?
So then it was actually pretty cool. So a buddy of mine, we got a contract to build some software for a large publishing company.
Now, how old were you?
It was probably around 15. 16.
And how much did you get paid for that?
It was like $2,000.
That's a pretty pivotal moment in your life, isn't
it? It was, yeah.
Why? Why was that so pivotal?
I think two things. One is obviously as a kid, that was a lot of money. And it was pretty wild because we actually got royalties after that we didn't even know we were going to. So we just kept getting checks. The other thing was that we got to create stuff. Like, we like to build things.
Mark?
So in every group growing up, you have relationships with all your friends. What was your role in that group? You said you had a group of four people that were pretty tight.
Oh yeah, I would say I was kind of the nerdy one. I was the builder of that. You know, I like to build things.
So growing up as a third middle child, you said you were the rebel. Are you still consider yourself a rebel?
I do. I mean, I do actually think that that's semi-important for, you know, being in technology because it changes so fast. So you do have to go against the grain to keep up in front of it.
And being a rebel growing up, how has that helped you to develop to become a COO?
I think the biggest thing is to, you know, understand that you have to keep changing, right? Like you can't be comfortable with the status quo.
Mm-hmm. Les?
I want to come back to this rebel thing about, going against the grain. What's that got to do with what you do now?
In transforming technology, it's usually not the technology, right? The technology is out there. You have artificial intelligence, you have blockchain, you have all this innovation or whatever. It's a question of, like, how do I get people to actually adopt those things so that they're, can move forward?
Mm-hmm. Vince?
So you're a leader of an organization, and you consider yourself a coder, right?
I do.
So why would anybody follow a coder?
That's a good question. I think coders invent things, out of digital technology to advance. Yeah.
But there are lots of coders, and nobody's following them. So why are they following you? What do they see in you?
So I think I did make that pivot as far as, so every coder has to make that decision of like, oh, am I going to sell out and actually go to the business side of things? Yeah. We talked a little bit about it before is that, in order to get the respect of the coders, you almost have to like best them in coding. Like it's a little bit of a challenge. And so once they figure out like, oh, geez, God, this is not just a suit. He actually knows how to program and understands code, then they'll follow you.
So you
build amazing things.
You develop respect of the coders, so they appreciate you understand.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
What did mom and dad do for a living?
Dad's a doctor. Mm-hmm. Mom was a scientist.
Uh-huh. And didn't you tell us when you got your first job, something happened with mom? What was that all about?
Oh, when I got my first job.
Or something, you started the company or something? You started the company?
I was working for a company here in Arlington, and then I actually quit my job, and I started my first business, and I didn't tell her for about a month.
Why didn't you tell your mom what you were doing?
Because I knew she would have been like, oh, God, like, are you going to be okay, right?
So mom, did you tell dad?
Nope, didn't tell dad either.
How long did it take you to tell your father that you started a business?
Oh, well, my parents are separated, so I haven't really kept in touch with my father as much.
So it's interesting. So you started this business, and your mom was a bit concerned that, that you're going to be safe. And but you felt comfortable with it. You felt comfortable taking that risk.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. How do you think she feels about what's ended up happening with the first business and what's happening with the second one?
Oh, now she's, she's a big fan and, is encouraging other siblings and stuff like that.
Interesting. Next question. Who's got it?
Building things requires that you probably try and experiment and fail a whole lot. So how'd you learn to cope with failure?
Ooh, I failed a lot.
What do you mean?
I think I'm stubborn.
Stubborn.
So that I think is actually most of the battle is that kind of stamina of like, okay, well, we'll try it again.
So who are you like in terms of that?
Ooh. Probably both of my parents have that kind of characteristic.
What do you mean?
Or whatever. Just kind of like the drive and the stamina to kind of, because they came to this country for college and they had to kind of.
Where are your parents from?
China.
China. And they came to this country for college.
They did. Yeah.
Uh-huh. And so you're first generation.
I am first generation.
How do you think that affected you?
It was interesting because there was a lot of just, trying to fit in, right? Like, be like a normal American family and that sort of thing.
And what'd you learn from that experience, just trying to fit in, considering your first generation and from China?
I think that also comes in with the consensus building, right? Kind of, weird sort of way of reading people and figuring out like, okay, well, this is how I get into this group. This is how I kind of,
So you have a natural understanding you developed trying to fit in of how to fit in.
Strangely, yeah, I didn't think so until much later on.
Mm-hmm. Rob, what do you think about it?
So you started doing the computer programming about 15 to 16.
Yep.
After you started doing that, did you have any other thoughts about doing anything else?
No, not really. My parents wanted me to be a doctor. I thought about being an architect, always kind of in the building thing or whatever. But I loved software.
So have you always enjoyed building things? Did you like Legos and other things like that as a kid?
Oh, yeah. I was a big Lego fan. Initially I wanted to be a carpenter and a magician.
It's all about building, taking things apart, how do things work?
Yeah, pretty much.
Uh-huh. Interesting. Your sisters, are they aware of what you're doing nowadays?
Oh, yeah, sure. Absolutely.
Are they surprised?
Probably not.
Why not? What do you think they saw as a kid that...
I was always like, so my dad... My dad being a doctor, he was like one of the first people on the block to have like a computer for his billing, right? But I just got on there and started... trying to build video games, really. But
so you had a natural proclivity with technology.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
What's the website address to this organization known as Mobomo?
Mobomo.com. M-O-B-O-M-O.
M-O-B-O-M-O. We've been talking with Ken Fang, who's the president of Mobomo here on Executive Leaders Radio. Don't forget to visit our website, executiveleadersradio.com. To learn more about our executive leaders, we will be back in a moment right after this break. Nice. Excellent.
Do you want to take the great shows of BizTalk Radio wherever you go? Well, now you can with the new BizTalk Radio app for iPhone and Android devices. Now all the great shows of BizTalk Radio are with you wherever you go, just an arm's reach away on your smartphone. Download today at the App Store or the Google Play Store and get the brand new BizTalk Radio app. It's biz for you wherever you go with the new BizTalk Radio app.
Are you struggling with addiction or alcohol problems? If you're depressed, drinking, and using drugs, you may need help. And the Affordable Care Act guarantees coverage of substance abuse.
I knew I could get myself out of this. I just needed some hope and some help.
I took the first step to recovery when I made the call.
Call the Addiction Hope and Helpline now for a free assessment with someone who cares. Call 800-547-6533. 800-547-6533.
I feel like I'm losing control. I'm afraid I'll lose my job or even my family.
Call now for hope and help with proven, gentle recovery programs.
I never thought that I could be somebody who didn't drink and use drugs.
I'm in recovery, getting the help I need.
Call the Addiction Hope and Helpline now for a free assessment with someone who cares. Call 800-547-6533. 800-547-6533. 800-547-6533.
I'm getting older. Do I need to worry about falling?
Yes, you do. Each year, one in four people 65 and older will experience a fall, and many will be serious. The majority of falls happen at home, so remove things that could make you trip and install handrails to keep you steady. To learn more about the steps you can take to help prevent a fall, please talk to your doctor. You can also visit aarpfoundation.org or medicaremadeclear.com/falls. This message was brought to you by United Healthcare and AARP Foundation.
Investing is a long-term process. How many times can you think of in the last decade that the stock market has destroyed retirement funds for people just like you and me? For your existing IRA, you need the security that gold has provided for centuries. Remember, gold has never been worth zero. Capital Gold would like to introduce you to the Home Storage Gold IRA. It's a self-directed IRA set up with all the protection and tax benefits of an LLC. But the big difference in this IRA is you invest in gold and you hold it in your possession. You can't do that with stocks. That's security. You can transfer any type of IRA hassle-free in days. Please call right now and learn more, and we'll waive the $500 setup fee and give you a free safe to store your gold. Call 800-223-0092. 800-223-0092. 800-223-0092. That's 800-223-0092.
Tired of paying outrageous prices for Viagra? Well, we have great news for you. Now you can finally get Viagra at huge discounts. Healthy Man allows you to save up to $500 on Viagra. Why pay U.S. pharmacy prices of $15 per pill or more when you can get Viagra for less than $3 a pill? Call today and get 40 Viagra pills for only $99. This can cost as much as $600 at your local pharmacy. You can't afford not to call us. If you want Viagra at the lowest prices, never pay $15 a pill pharmacy prices again. Get Viagra for less than $3 a pill. Call 1-800-521-9579 today and save up to $500 and get 40 pills for just $99. Healthy Man is fast, easy, and affordable. Operators are waiting at 1-800-521-9579 to take your call right now. Call 1-800-521-9579. That's 1-800-521-9579. Again, 1-800-521-9579.
Attention business owners and independent contractors. This is a money-saving message from Tax Mediation Services. If your business owes $20,000 or more in taxes, we can help you today, right now. Listen, dealing with the IRS is no picnic. It's an intimidating and extremely stressful process, and you don't want to go it alone. Our attorneys know every law, every tax break, and every possible opportunity to help you resolve absolve and reduce your tax debt. And if you owe more than $20,000, you may be at the top of their hit list. So don't take your tax debt lightly, because it will not go away on its own. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, your home, and even shut down your business. Call our tax experts today at 1-800-711-6812 and let us deal with the IRS while you focus on your business. That's 1-800-711-6812. Again, that's 800-711-6812.
Biz Talk Radio.
We're back. You're listening to Executive News Radio. This is your host, Herb Cohen. We'd like to introduce Stephen Robbins, principal of Lurch Early Brewer. Stephen, what is Lurch Early Brewer?
We're a full-service law firm located in Bethesda, Maryland. We have approximately 11 practice areas. And
how large or how small is the team?
We have 60 lawyers, and we have 60 or so.
All right. Where you're from? And where you're from originally?
From Maryland.
Mm-hmm. And how many brothers and sisters?
I have one older brother.
Uh-huh. And what was your relationship with your older brother when you were kids?
Always a very solid relationship, like best friends.
Really? How's that affected your relationship with your clients nowadays?
Well, it actually has a direct relationship in that I look at my clients as not only being clients and in a professional relationship, but I also take great interest in their lives and in their success.
Mm-hmm. I understand that when you were a kid, you were involved with a couple of clubs. Is something? What happened? What was that with that car wash when you were a kid?
Well, as a kid, I was always interested in trying to earn that buck. Mm-hmm. And even when I was 7 years old, I got a group of kids together, and there was a lot of construction in the area. We used to go around and wash construction workers' trucks and vehicles for to raise money.
Whose idea was that?
It was my idea, and grabbing people was my idea, too, I guess.
All right, so you had a natural ability to understand a market, and you have ideas, business ideas, and your nature is also to pull a team together. So it sounds to me like, aside from just being an attorney, I'm wondering, when you sit and talk to your clients, do you talk to them about their business ideas?
Very much so. I take great interest in my clients, and I often try to bring opportunities to my clients as well, which adds a lot of value.
Wait a minute. You're telling me that even though you went to law school and you practice law, you're an idea guy and part entrepreneur as well?
Absolutely. In the type of work that I do, which is land use and zoning work, I often see opportunities in large part before clients see them, and I have the ability to bring opportunities that I think would be a great fit to certain clients.
So I understand that you also were involved with a jazz band. What instrument did you play in that jazz band? What was your effect on that team?
Well, I played the saxophone. I wasn't the first chair, but I enjoyed it and made a lot of great friends. It was in high school.
Mm-hmm. What did you do about fundraising for that organization?
Yeah, we always needed to raise funds for the band, and I was the guy who sort of put together the ideas, worked with vendors, whether it was candy or donuts or raffle tickets.
Wait. You're just one of the kids there. You're the one who stepped up to the plate as opposed to one of the parents to figure out how to raise money and pull the team together?
We didn't rely on the parents other than to maybe have certain relationships with vendors and maybe to help us get around to
Well, your to nature sell. Is to take responsibility and make things happen. Rob, what are you thinking?
What role did your parents have in inspiring you for those types of positions?
My father was in the auto wrecking business, and my mom was a real estate broker, and they both inspired me quite a bit.
How young were you when you went to work with your father?
I was about 7 or 8 years old.
And what kind of business was that, an auto wrecking business?
He was in the auto wrecking and scrap business.
So what did you do in that business?
I would go to work with him primarily on Saturdays, and I'd work behind the counter and assist customers.
That must have been terrible. Your friends are outside playing, and you got to go to work with your father?
Besides being and having the opportunity to spend time with my dad on a Saturday, I loved making money.
It sounds to me like you also really enjoy relationships.
I do. I do. In my business, particularly the law that I practice, it's more than just the legal aspects. It's also a lot about relationships.
I bet you lose a lot of clients, huh?
I my clients, I think we have a great relationships, and they're very long term, and we value each other very much.
And the reason they stick around is because?
Not only because of the advice and success that we as a law firm bring them, but because of the opportunities that we bring.
Yeah, my bet is that you bring them, that you do bring them ideas, and that you really do value their relationship. Have you ever had a client in trouble that you cut a break for because you felt you should?
When you say cut a break for?
It could be that they had a problem paying a bill or something like that.
Well, every client is different, and there are. You always have to look at circumstances and see how you can help people.
Well, you don't have to, but it sounds to me like your nature is to do exactly that.
Well, my nature is always to try to help people. I mean, that has been instilled in me since I was a young kid, trying to help people, and I do that to even today.
Next question.
You seem that you were on a lot of teams growing up. Do you consider yourself as part of your client's team?
My whole aspect as an attorney, as a land use attorney, I equate that to team play. I love team sports. I played some team sports, and I view the land use attorney, for example, as the quarterback of the team, and we organize all of our consultants, work with our clients, work with local governments, elected officials, and they're all part of a team and the community. Community building is hugely important to make something happen, and we've worked on very large projects and have been successful at that.
Interesting, Vince.
There's some great themes here about community building and fundraising and teams. How are you carrying out that legacy from your childhood now outside of your professional career?
We at Lurcher Land Brewer value community building a lot, and we encourage people to get involved, and I do that personally myself. I was president of the Montgomery County Chamber of Commerce years ago, and I have served as the chair of the Montgomery County Public Safety Awards that honors all of our public safety individuals for 16 years now.
Scott, you work inside the firm. What's your role inside the firm?
I work in communications and marketing.
So you work with Stephen. What's his reputation inside the firm?
Stephen is a go-to attorney within the firm.
What do you mean he's a go-to attorney? What are you talking about?
If something's important, we run it by Steve.
Why do you do that?
He considers the firm as a whole. I would absolutely consider him kind of a captain of our team. And if he signs off on something, that means that it'll be in the best interest of everybody at the firm.
You said the best interest of the firm, so it's not a matter of his self-interest? You're not worried about him doing something selfish?
No, not at all. And, you know, we preach collegiality and relationships, and I think he really lives that.
That's interesting. So you're telling me that Stephen, who is going to be the head of the firm, short order, really embodies the spirit of being a leader, but not a selfish leader. He's the kind of guy that's really taken everybody into consideration as a leader.
Absolutely, and I think that's exactly why he was elected to lead the firm.
Why would he be elected to lead the firm? What do you mean?
We have a very democratic process, and if somebody doesn't have the respect of the firm, then they'll never take over the leadership position.
Wait a minute. He's going to be the leader of the firm because he's got everybody's respect? Is that so?
Absolutely.
It's not because of his ability to politic inside the firm. It's because the people respect him?
Absolutely not. He's one of the hardest workers we have.
He's also one of the hardest workers?
Absolutely.
Oh. Stephen, where'd that hard work come from? Where'd you learn that from?
As I said before, I learned hard work the right way from watching my father and from my mother. My mom was a stay-at-home mom until I was in high school, and then she got out there and became one of the most successful real estate brokers in Montgomery County, working long hours and, again, involved in real estate, which is where I also got some of my interest in real estate as well.
Uh-oh, you're like your mother, huh?
Like my mom in terms of my drive and hard work, even though my dad was an incredibly hard worker, but like my dad in terms of his personality of having sort of a fun-loving and loving humor and the like.
Huh, interesting. Who's got the next question here?
Yeah, where'd you learn about relationships? I mean, mom or dad, which one?
I would say that as far as relationships, probably more from my mom, but really more on my own. I was quite independent. Even though I had a strong family background, I was pretty independent as a young individual and growing up. I took it upon myself.
What do you mean independent growing up?
When I was involved not only in high school and in college and various activities, I really didn't engage my family in those activities. I really took it upon myself in terms of the drive that I had and what I would do for other people.
His nature is to take responsibility,
yeah.
You know, and he would rely on his parents, but it would say take responsibility.
I took responsibility, and to this day, I just sort of gravitate towards responsibility. Without the need to have to, check in.
So one of the reasons your clients don't leave you is they know they can depend on you.
I think that is a critical element of our relationship.
What is?
They can absolutely depend on me. Literally, what I'm called is sort of the 24/7 guy. They can call me whenever they need me.
Is that true? Is that really your nickname, the 24/7 guy? When they need somebody to talk to, you're there?
I wouldn't say that it is quote unquote a nickname, but it is true.
Because you care, because you really want to be there for them, because you appreciate what they're going through.
I mean, I can give you an example. I took a trip recently to Antarctica, mm-hmm. and thank goodness they had Wi-Fi.
What's the website address for this law firm, Lurch Early Brewer?
LurchEarly.com, LurchEarly.
And your name is Stephen Robbins, principal of Lurch Early Brewer. This is Executive Leaders Radio. Don't forget to visit our website, executiveleadersradio.com, to learn more about our executive leaders. That's executiveleadersradio.com. Learn more about our executive leaders. We'll be back in a moment right after this break.
Oh, nice interview.
And your name is?
Mary Claire.
And Mary Claire, what organization are you with?
The Roslyn Business Improvement District.
And what is the Roslyn Business Improvement District?
We really are a central force in the neighborhood. We're sort of the glue that holds everything together, and we make sure that it is a great place to be and that people know that it's a great place to be.
What's your role in this organization?
I'm the president.
How come you're saying that with a smile in your face?
Because I think, really, it fits my personality quite well.
What are you talking about? What do you mean?
By nature, I'm a people person. I'm a collaborator. I love bringing the right people to the table to get things done. And that's really what the Roslyn Bid does. We get things done for the neighborhood.
Well, when you say you get things done for the neighborhood, is this to help businesses? Is it to help the residents? Who's it to help? Who are you trying to help?
I think that's one of the more interesting aspects of the job is the diversity of the stakeholders. We work at the center of the politicians, the residents, business leaders, retailers, hoteliers, anyone who is involved in making the community a better place. We're really at the center point of that.
That would drive some people crazy being in the middle of all that stuff. And you sort of enjoy that?
I thrive on it.
What do you mean?
So it's one of the challenging aspects of the job is the diversity. Everyone wants different things at different times. And so you have to sort of be a collaborator. You have to bring people together, be a convener, really to make sure that the neighborhood is not only beautiful and active, but that it's economically successful for the long run.
So you're concerned about making sure that it's a win-win-win-win-win. Everybody wins all the time.
Absolutely, and I think the greatest reward came pretty recently when Nestle USA moved their corporate headquarters across country, and they chose Roslyn, and I think that really speaks to the dynamic nature of the neighborhood.
What's the website address of this organization?
RoslynVA.org.
Let me have that one more time.
RoslynVA.org.
And your name again is?
Mary Claire.
And this has been your Business Spotlight.
Do you have an old car sitting in your driveway? How would you like to learn a hassle-free way to get rid of it, help kids in need, and get a great tax donation in the process? It's real easy. One simple free call to our car donation hotline is all it takes. Call the Neshama Foundation at 800-721-6723, 800-721-6723. We'll come pick your car up for free and give you a tax donation for the full value of the car, running or not. The value of your unwanted car will go to help kids in need. It's fast and easy. Just call us and your car will be gone and on its way to helping children in 48 hours. And you get a nice tax deduction. Call the Neshama Foundation now to get rid of your car, help kids, and get a tax write-off. Call 800-721-6723. 800-721-6723. 800-721-6723. That's 800-721-6723.
What is term life insurance? It's basically a financial protection plan for your family if you pass away. It can be a hard purchase. Think about it. It's one of the few major purchases you can make that you will personally never use. But you've got to have it to protect your family. And you owe it to yourself to shop and compare to get the best possible rates. For term life insurance policies of $500,000 or more, call the Term Lifeline today.
800-957-6068. That's 800-957-6068. Remember, we specialize in term life insurance policies of $500,000 or more, and we have great rates for smokers too. So call today. 800-957-6068. 800-957-6068. That's 800-957-6068.
This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right. General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices. A 50 by 100 for under $30,000. You heard right. That's 5,000 square feet under $30,000. Manufacturers, if you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait.
Call 800-605-5370. 800-605-5370. Call 800-605-5370.
Biz Talk Radio.
We're back. You're listening to Executive Leaders Radio. This is your host, Herb Cohen. We'd like to introduce Chris Wines, president of Metis Solutions.
Correct.
What is Metis Solutions? What are you guys doing?
We're a professional services firm focused on the DOD and Intel communities.
How large or how small is that organization?
We are about 350 employees strong.
How old is the organization?
7 years.
And how long have you been with it?
5.
So you joined this organization?
As a startup, yep.
As a startup, you know, a year or two into
right.
it. And how many people were there when you joined it?
I was employee number 6. I came in as a partner.
And now it's 350.
Correct.
And you did come as a partner. All right. Where are you from originally?
From Darnestown, Maryland, here outside D.C.
And how many brothers and sisters?
One older brother.
And what kind of clubs did you join when you were a kid?
Well, I, like we talked about before, Boy Scouts was kind of the largest influence in my life growing up.
And how young were you when you joined Boy Scouts?
I can't say exactly. It was probably around 8 to 10.
Why? Why'd you join it?
Just my friends and my brother was in the Boy Scouts.
And you, Boy Scouts, you have the ability of getting in and getting out or sticking through it and rising through the ranks. What happened to you?
Yeah, sure. I joined with the intent of rising all the way through, which is an Eagle Scout, and that's a badge of honor.
You joined when you were 7 or 8 or something like that, and you knew you wanted to be an Eagle Scout?
Yeah, absolutely.
And not many kids make Eagle Scouts. I understand that you ended up an Eagle Scout with some other Eagle Scouts. What was that all about?
Yeah, the story goes it's 1 in 100 that join the Boy Scouts make it to Eagle. The group that I started with, 7 of us, from start to finish, we got our Eagle and had the ceremony together.
So your nature is to get involved with a bunch of other guys and rise with them.
Correct.
So you don't need to be the star necessarily.
No.
Uh-huh. What's that have to do with building this business that's going from 5 or 6 people when you started to 350 nowadays?
Right. It's interesting. As we were talking before, I don't think I ever realized the parallel in that the group that we have working in our corporate management team is people I've worked with for a long time. And the same thing as growing up. The same guys that I started with, we finished with, and I think our team at Metis feels the same way. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're seeing it through.
Bruce?
We talked from the scout thing, we talked about a life balance because right. It can't be the only activity in your life. There's sports to juggle. There's the other extracurriculars. How did that help with time management skills and how to have a life balance?
Yeah, I think it's exactly that, right? Especially in high school time. I mean, I became rose through all of high school in 17. It was my senior year I became an Eagle. So there's a lot of competing priorities, whether it's just your schoolwork, sports, extracurriculars, and, you know, applying for college at the end. So you learn a lot about time management, and then you learn whether what your priorities are, really. And if you set a priority and a goal like I did, then and our group did, we saw it through.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. In a multi-owner environment, what is your unique skill that you bring to the table, and then where does that ability come from?
Yeah, so with Metis, I came in kind of on the early end as the business guy. I had started and worked in finance for years and had that understanding that my partners were both senior government officials. So they understood the clients, the missions. I understood how to turn that into a business.
David?
Your father had important missions when you were growing up. You could talk about that for a moment.
My dad was in the Navy growing up, so he was, you know, most of my life he was out between Norfolk Naval Base and deployed out in the Med and home.
And what role did scouting play in your development with your father 6 months of the year serving our country?
It became my own community and family. And I think these were my friends and neighbors, and we all grew up together, and their family was my family.
And the mentors you had, the scout leaders, how does that affect your role running a company today? You're mentoring, is that right?
Yeah. I mean, I would say that it affects me. You just learn that they become role models and heroes to a degree to you, and then teach you how to be a good person and how to manage and lead.
Mm-hmm. Jen?
Was your father particularly involved in the Boy Scouts with you? Because I know he was overseas and deployed.
Right, not very much.
Do you think you were looking for that kind of camaraderie and more of a fatherly figure?
Sure.
When getting involved? And then how do you parlay that into what you're doing now?
I would say that what I do now is, you know, a lot of what we do in my role is, I joke with our team, is kind of a psychiatrist, right? And kind of a model, too, in terms of just providing that listening ear and being there for them when they have their struggles and challenges.
Wait a minute. I thought you were running a business.
Yeah.
What's that have to do with being the psychiatrist or listening to their problems? Why would you bother listening to their problems?
Because if they've got a lot of problems and challenges, then they're not being productive employees.
So you think part of your job is understanding people?
Oh, absolutely.
What's that have to do with being an Eagle Scout? I thought it was tying knots and stuff like that.
I don't know if I remember all my knots, but being an Eagle Scout's about being a leader.
Really?
Yeah, without a doubt.
What
I mean, the path to get there is so challenging and difficult, and if you can make it, then you...
Didn't you tell me you had to organize all the meetings and stuff like that?
When I was senior patrol leader, as an example, every week we had a meeting every Monday morning, or evening, rather. I set the agenda, ran the meeting, and made sure that it was productive.
And you see a parallel between running those meetings with other kids and what you're doing nowadays?
Sure, absolutely.
Huh.
I think it set the foundation.
You described your mom had an interesting background. So how do you think what you learned from her helps you today in business as well?
So I learned from her a staunch work ethic. My mom started as a secretary at the State Department and worked her way up to an SES, and then was elected to serve in the United Nations for 10 years. So she had she was quite a role model in terms of, you know, working hard and achieving a lot. So it was an easy thing to watch and aspire to that led me to be the same aspirations.
You have a great deal of respect for people, for both your dad and your mom and the scout leaders and your peers. You have a great deal of respect in your bones, don't you?
I don't know that they'd agree, but I'd like to think so.
And how's that come through? How's that help you build a business, the fact that you respect, you look to respect people. So I guess that means you're careful in whom you select, and then when you select somebody, you work very closely with them.
You could say that, yeah.
Huh. So you look for certain kinds of people to work with?
I I'm not sure. Yeah, yes. I mean, I can very easily gravitate towards people I know I'm going to work well with and get along with and be productive.
Huh. What's the website address for your organization?
It's metisolutions.com.
How do you spell that?
M-E-T-I-S-O-L-U-T-I-O-N-S. There's only one S in between.
Metisolutions.com. We've been speaking with Chris Wines, president of Metisolutions, here on Executive Leaders Radio as well. We've had the opportunity of speaking with Chris Mann, CEO of Morgan Franklin Consulting, Kasim Hussein, COO of Green Zone Solutions, Glenn Merberg, and Patrick Atchison, managing principals of Quadrant, and again, most recently, Chris Wines, president of Metisolutions. I'd like to thank my co-hosts, David Kunzman, Pretoria Law, Jennifer Wappas, Pagnotto Carp, Rich Stang, DeLiana and Stang, and Bruce Kaufman, Human Circuit, my co-hosts, for giving me a hand structuring the questions. Hope you're providing our listening audience an educational and entertaining show. I hope we provided an educational and entertaining show. Don't forget to visit our website, executiveleadersradio.com, to learn more about our executive leaders. It's executiveleadersradio.com. To learn more about our executive leaders, we thank you for joining us today, and do have a nice day. Bye-bye. Oh, we did that nice. Good.
The opinions you hear on Biz Talk Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests, and do not necessarily reflect those of this station, Biz Talk Radio, its management, or advertisers. The information on Biz Talk Radio does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or securities. Please consult a professional before investing. If you have any questions about Biz Talk Radio, contact us at 817-274-1609 or at biztalkradio.com.
Biz Talk Radio.